Let's give attention now to God's Word, Psalm 61, to the chief musician on a stringed instrument, a Psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Amen. Let's ask God's blessing on our time in his word. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to this portion of your word, we acknowledge our great need of light so that we would know how to live and how to serve you. But Lord, we need light not only to give us understanding, we need light also to cheer our hearts, to encourage us in the way of righteousness. Lord, we come as weak ones needing to be made strong in Christ by your word. We come as guilty ones needing to be cleansed by a new application of the blood of Christ to our consciences. We come as confused ones needing to be guided in the way of Christ by the Holy Spirit speaking to us in Scripture. And so, Lord, as we come with these various needs, we pray again that you would take up your word, that it would be no dead letter, but that it would be life-giving and powerful, that it would reach deep into our souls, that it would expose the roots of our weaknesses, our vulnerabilities, the reasons we fall so often in temptation, and that it would come with healing and restoring grace and power to shape us more and more into the image of Christ, in whose name and for whose glory we pray these things. Amen. In Psalm 61, David speaks about what he will do when his heart is overwhelmed. Now, if you remember very much at all about the life of David, you realize that there were many opportunities, many occasions on which his heart could very reasonably have been overwhelmed. In this particular psalm, the likelihood seems to be that it was composed either while he was fleeing from his son Absalom, who had rebelled against him, or at least when he was thinking about that time. He appears to be cast out from Jerusalem. He notices that he will cry to the Lord from the end of the earth. In other words, he's not at home. He's not in the center of the world where God's tabernacle was, but on the contrary, he is far away. It would seem to be a time after he's been anointed king because he expresses the hope, the confidence that God will prolong the king's life in verse 6. And so that fits very well, the setting with Absalom when David had to flee Jerusalem, when he had to go far away, when his status, his position as king was very much called into question by the rebellion of his son and by the successful, at least initially, conspiracy of his enemies. And you notice he is concerned about the enemy in verse 3 when he identifies God as his strong tower from the enemy. Well, of course, for a king cast out of his capital city by a rebellion of a son whom he had not treated dealt with properly, you can understand a heart being overwhelmed. And the idea of an overwhelmed heart is one of weakness, one of fainting. In Psalm 107, verse 5, for instance, people reach this condition of being overwhelmed or of fainting because they've had nothing to eat or drink. Well, just as you get weak and shaky if you're malnourished, so our hearts also can be brought to that condition where we're close to death, where we may well lose consciousness, where strength to continue is lacking. And in order to understand what to do with an overwhelmed heart, we want to break this down into three questions. Why is your heart overwhelmed? What to do for or with an overwhelmed heart? And then finally, who can steady? Who can help the overwhelmed heart? Well, in the first place, then, we come to ask and answer the question, why is your heart overwhelmed? You notice that that's kind of a general term. David doesn't specify that he's in despair. David doesn't specify that he's angry. David doesn't specify that he's sorrowful. No doubt all of those things were likely to enter in, as well as anxiety or fear. But there's this general term. There's a weakness of heart. He feels that the situations are too much for his strength and courage. And I think that's very valuable for us because there's many ways to get to this condition of an overwhelmed heart. I have written down in my notes 15 different things that might lead us there, and I'm pretty sure I didn't get them all. I'm not going to talk about all 15. We would be here longer than is reasonable. People might start to have overwhelmed hearts from the length of the sermon if I were to do that. But let's just pick a couple of examples in alphabetical order. Anxiety might be a reason for an overwhelmed heart. Maybe somebody didn't get home on time, and you immediately start thinking about everything that could have gone wrong. Did somebody get mugged? Were they in a car accident? Are they in a hospital? Will they ever come home? And of course, in these days, we have some particular reasons for anxiety, even more than normal. It's easy for our hearts to be overwhelmed with worry. We can't be in peace. We're pacing back and forth. We can't settle down to anything. We're very unsettled, on edge constantly until the anxiety is answered. Now, I'm not saying that all anxiety is unreasonable, but it's one of the ways that we can get to this condition of an overwhelmed heart where we cannot continue, we can't keep going because we're in such a fever of anxiety, as the phrase goes. Or you might also get to this condition of an overwhelmed heart because of depression. You wake up and there's no strength to face life. No strength to get out of bed. Getting dressed? Ha! That's for other people. You can't do that. Your heart is overwhelmed because of the pointlessness, the hopelessness, the sense that nothing good has ever happened, that nothing good ever will happen. Depression is very easily overwhelming to our heart. You can think about fear. We're faced with a dangerous situation of one kind or another, and sometimes we melt down, we panic, we are shaking and unable to continue. It may be frustration. Nothing works the way that it should. We're all fists, and we lose our cool because things aren't turning out right. Nothing ever works out for me. We can have overwhelmed hearts because of grief. We remember somebody who's gone, somebody we miss, and we just can't stand it. We're consumed by weeping day after day and night after night. Related to that, we might think of longing, things that we wish would have happened, things that we wish we could have had, and yet that never turned out. And the sadness, the pain of that is overwhelming to us. It causes our hearts to faint. You could think about guilt. You know you did wrong, and you can't stand it. The sense of having done something shameful, disgraceful, just overpowers you. You tremble to face God's judgment. You can't lift up your head. You can't look other people in the eye. The wrongness of what you did just seizes on you and torments you and will not let you go. It's very easy to get an overwhelmed heart that way. Or somewhat related to that, you could think about regret as well. Maybe it's not so much that you did something wrong, but that things just turned out in a way that is deeply, deeply painful. There might be outrage. You might think about the evils that happen in this world. You might think about unjust laws, about corrupt governments. You might think about cruelty and oppression, the terrible things that are visited upon the powerless in many different ways. And it gets to you. It drives you crazy when you think about those things. Or it might be not so much about the reality that there's injustice in the world in general, but something that happened to you, the way that you have been hurt or victimized, and there's ongoing damage that you feel day after day after day. That can be overwhelming. Or think about responsibility. You have so many things to do. You get up and you jump right into it and you work for 16 hours, and at the end of that time, you're 3 hours further behind than you were when you started. Your mind is pulled in 96 different directions. It's hard to breathe. It's hard to think. It's hard to get anything done because everything is clamoring to be done right now. Sometimes that comes up when you're wrestling multiple children. Nothing stays the same for 2 minutes together, and you're not getting ahead. Maybe you're not even staying on top of it. Responsibility also can make you feel overwhelmed. Things are not going to get done. Things are not going to happen the way they should, and it's your fault. That's a terrible burden to carry. And it's a burden that is overwhelming to us. Well, as I said, these are some examples. There's other things that we could mention. We could mention despair or dread. We could mention inadequacy and weakness. But from what has been said, hopefully it's clear that there's many ways to come to this point. So before we move on, I would just like to ask you, listening today, why is your heart overwhelmed? What is it that gets to you and puts you into this fainting condition where you cannot continue? It's good to identify that. It's good to know those points where you get driven into this condition. David was there more than once, and David had learned what to do when his heart was overwhelmed. Which brings us to our second point, what to do for an overwhelmed heart. The answer to that is not to wait until your heart is overwhelmed to think about it or to get ready for it. So the first part of what to do for an overwhelmed heart comes to us in the word prepare. Prepare as David did for these occasions and these moments. David is anticipating that his heart will be overwhelmed. And he says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He knows it's coming and he gets ready for it. And we need to do the same as well. There will be moments and occasions in life, whether through one of our 15 ways or through something not even mentioned, that your heart is overwhelmed. And it's important to be prepared for that because in a moment of crisis, when you don't know what to do, you fall back on your training. You do what comes naturally. You do what you've got a habit to do. And so preparing enables us to lay the groundwork to cultivate good habits for times of great distress and being overwhelmed. And the very first habit to cultivate, of course, is the habit of prayer. We prepare and we pray. What is David doing in this psalm? Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Prayer is the first response. And so it needs to become a habit with us. It needs to become a part of our Christian training that we remember that we're helpless. We know ourselves to be dependent upon God, and we cry out to him for help. This is not a technique for us to manage. This is us acknowledging that we can't and turning to the one who can. Now, we'll come back to prayer in a little bit. But then it's also helpful to follow a procedure. So we have preparation, we have prayer, and we have a procedure or a process. And in this, I will acknowledge that I'm giving advice here. These are things that I think we see some of them reflected in the psalm, and I think some of them are common sense that we ought to implement. But it's all helpful because when you're in a moment of your heart being overwhelmed, when you're in panic or despair or something like that, it's very hard to think. And so it's good to have some steps in mind that you know you can follow. So let me suggest four steps here in our procedure when our heart is overwhelmed. And all of these should be undertaken while breathing. When you're in crisis, it's easy to forget to breathe, and that just makes it worse. So deliberate, slow, deep breaths are very helpful. And then you want to define the issue clearly. You see David doing that. He defines his situation. Where is he? He's at the end of the earth. What's going on? His heart is overwhelmed. Why? Well, because of the enemy. He defines the issue. And you can do that. Maybe you feel fear. It's helpful to say, what exactly is it that I am afraid of? A giant bug comes scurrying out of the bathtub. What are you afraid of? Well, on one level, you're afraid of getting bitten or even touched by such a disgusting creature. On another level, you're just afraid because it's weird and fast-moving, and many of us have a certain natural alarm in the face of something like that. But if you stop and think, what am I afraid of? It's helpful to define it, to calm down a little bit when you say, what I'm afraid of is that thing biting me or touching me or getting too close. And of course, that works not just for fear, but for everything. Take responsibility. I'm feeling overwhelmed by how many things I have to do. Well, I need to define the issue clearly. I need to sort out how many things are there to do, which are the most important ones, is there anybody who can help? And at that point, we've already come to the second part of our process or procedure. You want to define the issue. You also want to divide and conquer. Divide what seems like one big problem into a number of smaller portions. And this is common sense. If you're facing a mountain, you can't jump over it, but you can walk around it one step at a time. So we define, we divide. But then we also need to stop and start. We need to stop those behaviors that make things worse. When it's anxiety, it's dwelling on the issue. And the same thing applies to anger, to outrage, to regret. Of course, if the issue is guilt, what we need to stop doing is not just thinking about it, but we need to stop acting as though Christ had not died. We need to remember that he is the Savior of sinners, and so we don't wallow in guilt. Rather, we allow the guilt to drive us to Christ. In that way, it actually becomes somewhat helpful. Now, depending on what brought you to this condition of your heart being overwhelmed, what you need to stop and what you need to start will be a little bit different. But usually, when we're in this state, It's not easy to help ourselves. We make things worse, and we don't do the things that would be beneficial, which is why I reminded everybody to breathe. And then you want to start resting in God. You see, that's exactly what David does. He does acknowledge the problem. He defines his situation, but he encourages himself to rest, not only by praying, but also by remembering, "For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy." He knows what God has already been for him in the past. He remembers how the character of God applies to his current situation, and so he strengthens himself in the Lord his God here, as he's done on other occasions in his life as well. If you come to me with an overwhelmed heart, seeking some counsel, seeking some help, here's the procedure, the process that I have for that. What will probably happen is that I'll join you in feeling overwhelmed. We will definitely pray about the situation, and then we'll try to find a new perspective, a new standpoint from which to look at things. We'll try to find at least one small practical step that you can take. And we'll try to find you a promise from God's word that you can hang on to encourage and help in the midst of whatever is overwhelming your heart. And I don't say that to discourage anyone from coming. On the contrary, please do come. This is the process we'll follow. I hope it will be helpful for both of us. But that brings us then to our third question. Who can steady the overwhelmed heart? Now, you already know the answer to this. It's very clear in the psalm. David is crying out to God. You see, the point of talking about what to do when our heart is overwhelmed is not so that we can pretend that we are independent or self-sufficient. I'm not trying to teach a coping strategy, a management technique, so that you can handle things on your own, so that you can avoid your heart getting overwhelmed and not need to cry out to God. That is not the point at all. Our hearts, even prepared hearts, do get overwhelmed. This is going to happen to us. The goal of this sermon is so that when it does, we turn to God quickly. We turn to Him sooner rather than later, so that we turn to Him first and we continue to turn to Him throughout. Now, the existence of this psalm, the example of David, show us that there are steps we can take. And of course, common sense rounds out some of the things that we should do. But what we're doing is not to fix the problem of an overwhelmed heart. Rather, it's to help us turn to the one who can truly, genuinely steady us and help us with our overwhelmed hearts. And David speaks about that in a little bit of detail. When he cried out to God, asking to be led to a rock higher than himself, the idea there is of a strong place, a place where he's secure from the enemy. But David is not talking about some particular rock in the wilderness where he's going to go to hide or be secure from Absalom. It's clear in the rest of the psalm that this rock is God himself. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Why? For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. The strong tower is God himself, as it says also in the book of Proverbs 18 and verse 10, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe or is set on high. And then you notice in verse 4, he says, I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. The imagery there is that David is going to enter into the holiest place of the tabernacle, where God was enthroned between the cherubim with their outspread wings. And there, in God's secret place, coming to God's heart, so to speak, David would be safe. He would find refuge and security there. Well, where is the secret place of the Most High? Where is the shadow of the Almighty? That presence of God has come among us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we hear about a rock higher than David where he will find safety, our minds should already be thinking of the rock that is Christ, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. Sheltering in Christ, we are in the Holy of Holies. Sheltering in Christ, we are under the shadow of God's wings. Sheltering in Christ, we are set on high upon a rock. Now, if we have typically thought of Christ simply as the one who forgives our sins and makes sure we get into heaven when we die, this whole sermon may seem very strange to you. What does Christ have to do with frustration at work or family conflict or a feeling of depression or weakness? Christ should not just be the person whom we call in when the doctors have done their best and said, there's no more hope for us. We should turn to Christ in every trouble. He is a complete Savior and Lord. In the fullness of His grace, there is help for every kind of thing that may overwhelm our hearts. And so I ask you again, what overwhelms your heart? It's good to understand what that is. It's good to prepare. But the greatest habit to cultivate, the biggest preparation you can make, is to cultivate your faith in Christ. He is your refuge and your strength. He is the high rock and the strong tower that you need. You can hide in Christ from every danger. You can flee to Christ in every trouble. In yourself, you are helpless and you will be overwhelmed. Our hearts are easily overcome. But Christ has not yet been overcome. He triumphs for us, and thus in Him we are more than conquerors. In Him we also overcome. In ourselves, we're a collection of weaknesses and vulnerabilities, but in Christ we find a safe dwelling place, refuge and security under His wings. Glory be to God for Jesus Christ. Amen.